What's up, everybody? David Pollack here of See Ball, Get Ball podcast. I hope you like it, man. Be sure to follow the show wherever you subscribe, YouTube, or any of your other platforms. Welcome on in to See Ball, Get Ball. We are excited you are here, getting closer and closer to the season. If you missed Monday, you missed Mac Brown fixing the college football playoff system and the transfer portal window. And we had some serious power outage. We apologize. Me and Brent are neighbors. So Brent Rollins joins me as always. We live right next door to each
Fingers
other.
Crossed.
Yeah, we ran out of power a couple times. Wes stepped in admirably. And then I ended up finishing because Brent couldn't get back online. So Brent, talking with Mac Brown and some of the things that he brought up, man, what stood out or what made you say, oh, that made a lot of sense?
I listened once I realized I was not going to have power back. And by the way, I think it's Scott's fault, but that's neither here nor there.
That's our other neighbor.
Yes. But I think the most salient thing he said was about the schedule and moving the schedule back to where the national championship finishes sooner. And you can have that January portal window. I thought that was very telling with how he said that. And I thought it was interesting him talking about the financial issue, which I'd heard him say that in another thing before, but the financial issues at North Carolina and how that's kind of changed a little bit in the new regime. I don't know if he hit that specifically, but it has. So, but
well, hey,
his wisdom though to it, like, and the way really he was good. Dialed into it, he could be somebody that is part of the solution.
100%. He lived in both eras. I think that's a big deal. But yeah, when you talked about your first thing, the problem with the way it is now is tampering. Like, tampering is a big deal. People are recruit as soon as your season's done, which is a lot of teams really early in the year and or much earlier in the year, like on to the next. It's on to recruiting. It's on to getting on other people's rosters while other people are still putting their stuff together to go win. So that's why I'm opposed to early transfer portal window. That's why I want May. I want post spring. I want we're done. We're starting to build our roster, our young guys. I know exactly kind of, you know, where I stand, build some depth. I think there's less of that. I would prefer the May window, but Mac being a coach, being in it, I love the different strategy from these coaches and the different level of importance that they put on different things, because every school has different challenges. Like, Mac had different challenges at North Carolina. I promise you he didn't have at Texas. Because you talk about money struggles at Texas. Nah, bro, right there, my couch cushion. They just found $3 million. Like, Texas has got that bread, and they can spend it, and they can use it. Look at the Texas softball team. Like, they just turned around their roster and got a dub with 9 transfers and paying people. And immediately, Oklahoma, who's been a dynasty, gets knocked out a little bit earlier. And it was bound to happen at some point, but that's you know, the world we live in is changing with sport, and all of us are having to adapt on the fly and continue to make these shifts and moves.
There is a full circle moment though coming up this year, week one. I don't know if you saw the announcement, but game day is going to be at the Texas Ohio State game. They did announce that. So Coach Corso will make his final headgear pick where it all started in Columbus.
So Ohio. Cool.
So that's
so cool.
I mean, there was no wrong choice there with either there or Tallahassee, but being at the big game.
What do you mean? There is a wrong choice. There's a right choice and a wrong choice. That's the right choice.
Him and Florida State. I mean, but yeah, you got to be at the big game. You got to be where it started.
No, you do exactly what game day should do. You go to the best game, and it's even better that it is full circle. And you know, if you don't know this story, by the way, with Corso, like Corso literally. Herb Street's wife was a cheerleader at Ohio State. And like, so he obviously the connection's there. And he was like, hey, you know, can you get me that headgear? And basically went over there and got it from Herb Street's, you know, wife. That's how it started. Like, that's literally how the headgear, you know, started. And so to come back to Ohio State, I think it's perfect. It's clearly the best game. Like, bar none, the best game.
It's the best non-conference game of the season.
Bro, it's one of the best games, period, of the season. So I'm glad they're doing that and they're going to be there.
We get 3 of probably the top 5 non-conference games of the season in the first 2 days there with that game, LSU Clemson, and then Notre Dame Miami. Like, as good as it gets there. One other thing, your draft class is still alive. Aaron Rodgers with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the 2005 draft class still lives on.
Aaron Rodgers was four picks after me, just to be, if we're keeping tabs. Lasted 40 years longer than me, but that's okay. But that's an interesting, the Aaron Rodgers thing, the Terry Bradshaw, like, by the way, they're not unretiring Terry Bradshaw's number to give him that number either. He's going to have to get a new number. I think he's going to be number 8, I think, is what it, what his new number is. But from a talent perspective, just a talent perspective, there's not many better than Aaron Rodgers. Like, just throwing the football, man.
The ability to throw it. Yep.
I mean, just can throw it through a car wash, not get it wet, could move his feet, could buy time. Obviously, the older he's gotten, the harder it is to continue to do that and take hits, and his health, tearing his Achilles, was not a good thing for his career. But
you will not have him on your fantasy team, though.
No. I mean, when's the last time you had a Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback on your fantasy team? It's been a hot minute.
Yes, it has. Very much so. But fantasy, we're going to get to that here in a little bit. That's going to be a lot of fun. The house settlement, and which, by the way, folks, it's not houses in like House of Representatives. It's houses in Grant House, former Arizona State swimmer, who was the plaintiff in that lawsuit. But the settlement, you know, a lot of conversation about it. We didn't really get to touch on it a lot, but there was a few things that I wanted to kind of get your thoughts about as we move forward in this sort of new world of college football. The enforcement entity, I forget exactly
Deloitte. What it's called.
No, that's Deloitte's the NIL thing.
Oh, okay.
But the College Sports Commission or something like that. I forget exactly what it was called, but I know the guy that's running it is Brian Seeley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From MLB, right?
From the Major League Baseball, which, by the way, Major League Baseball is an uncapped sport. And I think that's interesting that now the guy that's running, coming into this sport, it's college baseball in a way where you have a lot of sort of powers that be with a lot more money than a lot of other teams. It's very similar to baseball. So I thought that was unique. But the NIL go and the $600, Deloitte's overseeing it. If it's over $600, it has to go through their process, be approved, fair market value. That's a whole issue that I've seen a lot of commentary on. But my question to you is this. If when NIL started in July of 2021 and they had said, hey, this is how it's going to exist. If it's over $600 or whatever amount they said, $1,000, you get it approved through this thing and it's good to go. If that's the only way it would have existed, how would we have gotten to the point where we've gotten to currently in college football?
Yeah. Because
still think so?
Because if you open the box and you start saying, you know, you're allowed to get money, it's going to continue to grow. And listen, let's not get this twisted. Okay. If you're a purist and first of all, I love college football. If you're a purist though, people can get paid for a long time. This ain't new. Like, and people are going to go around the rules no matter what they are. Like, they're going to continue to stretch the boundaries. And I mean, newsflash, I got paid at Georgia. Okay. Like, I found opportunities and people that were willing to donate
some good handshakes,
very favorable things to me. And it wasn't a lot, but let me tell you something. It was awesome. It was a blessing. So that's been happening. But I think, listen, here's the problem, Brent. Here's what happened in college football to get us where we're at right now. Two things happened. You had NIL, but the lighter fluid was the transfer portal.
Yes.
Like, That was the Crisco. That was the grease, man. That's what made this thing go on steroids, because now you have movement and ability to go get more funds. So, like, those two things work together to explode college football to a whole nother stratosphere. But I think that opening the box for payment, I think you allow things to just – you're going to go around, just like with now, enforcing it. You better have strict punishments. That you better slap people upside the face, because – if I'm going out and saying this was a $600 deal, but it was really a $900,000 deal, and you're trying to circumvent the wheel, there needs to be ramifications that match what you do. And I've even heard this, Brent, too, where it's 5-1. Like, talking to a GM the other day, like, if you spend over $1 million on something, you might lose $5 million the next year.
Ooh.
Like, that is how you make severe yes. change in the sport. That's how those guardrails and these rules exist. But I do think it's really, really funny that they hire a new entity and a new team to to go do what the NCAA is supposed to do. That just, it's very interesting. The NCAA continues to absolutely do nothing and to be completely irrelevant in the sport and is close to being completely irrelevant altogether.
All right, so we do baseball here. You do the AAU basketball. What's the entity, the go-to entity to play some tournaments in AAU basketball?
Like, you mean like the
brand, like Perfect Game in baseball, Perfect Game, Prep Baseball, Port PBR,
they have the
in baseball,
Nike, those the Adidas, tournaments. And the Under Armour, you know, that they have those three different circuits. So those are the main ones, I think.
So they just organize and you register for the tournaments and then you go play in their tournaments and they give you the trophy or ring at the end. That's what the NCAA is right now.
Yeah.
That's all they are. That's their Perfect Game, basically.
I mean, they have no subpoena power.
They run tournaments.
I'm interested to see when they start to levy these sanctions and they're doing investigative work. Like, how do you get subpoena power? Like, do you have that ability to subpoena? If you don't have subpoena power, hey, this is the new arm of the NCAA or NIL. We're trying to get you to, we want to ask you some questions. Nah, I'm not interested. Like, that's what it is. Like, if you can't talk to people, like, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes because there's obviously a few people that have the most power. And are they going to let these people really do their job and levy out punishments? Because if they do, the sport's going to get better. The sport's already great. I'm just saying your fan viewing and the movement and all the stuff that you don't like sometimes that comes with the sport, it will grow and it will get better.
The deliverables too for these, are they going to be able to enforce deliverables? Because in a way right now it's pay for play. It's not versus in a true NIL world, I got to do six appearances versus, you know, or six tweets or whatever that is. Are they going to actually be able to enforce that? I highly doubt that.
Brent,
that
there's and think no about way. The different states, like taxes in one state versus taxes in another state. Like that's a part of the comparisons and the things you do. But, you know, along with all of this stuff that we're talking about, it's going to be so interesting. There are certain schools that are really, really good in a lot of different things. And they thrive in Auburn. Auburn's, they haven't been elite in football, but they've had moments where they've absolutely been elite in the past. The past couple of years, they've struggled. But, like, Auburn, what's your cap look like? I know how Duke's going to look, okay? I know how Kansas is going to look. Like, the basketball influx is going to be higher. So, remember, it's $20.5 million for these schools, and they get to choose or they get to negotiate and figure out how much of the pie do I get? Men's basketball, women's basketball. Women's basketball at UConn, Brent. That Villanova. Might be a different animal than everywhere else. Like women's basketball at South Carolina might get a bigger piece of the pie than South Carolina basketball, men's, which is the moneymaker for, you know, men's basketball and men's football are the two moneymaker sports, you know, period. So it's just, it's going to be interesting to watch all of this and having to, and now you got so many, you know, I go to these campuses, Brent, and there's so many GMs now and I'm meeting GM after GM. And it's just crazy. Cause it's like, it's so weird. Like, where did you come from? I came from the NFL. Where did you come from? I came from the NFL. Oh yeah. Cause you're used to doing this. This is what you did. You balanced rosters and you balanced free agencies. And so you've seen a ton of that, you know, NFL experience start to come down to the college game with salary caps.
You brought up a great point, though, with the, you know, men's versus women's component, because I'm already seeing a lot of things out there as it relates to there being Title IX lawsuits potentially. And that's a whole big discussion about the way that if your revenue sharing is different with the male versus female sports, like that's a thing. There's legal issues there that you have to get around. International, like you, Brett Thorson on his visa, he can't, the NIL stuff is different for him and that those students. And now are they a part of this? But ultimately, one last question with, as it relates to this, is the McDonald's bag of cash coming back?
Oh yeah. I mean, and what Brent's referring to, is those cash grabs, those behind the deal, behind the, under the table, closed deals. Yes, but the thing
the
about
bag men are coming back, I think. I think that's very much.
But Brent, if I'm going to get hammered for it, and they'll set regulations and they'll set terms and they'll set punishments, bro, you will stop that. Like, you will absolutely, you will limit it. And if you're taking that big of a hit, you'll be able to stop it. So I think the schools and talking to coaches want it, man. Like, they want it. They want a system. They want more guardrails. They want more things in place to continue to make it more structured and more sound and less craziness without rules, without parameters.
Do you think at all that this, say we look at this 5 years from now, do we have a new set of blue bloods in a way in college football in 5 years that have used the financial piece of it, i.e. one we've already talked to, Texas Tech, like to equate to victories, to equate to championships and or college football playoff appearances? Does that actually happen, or is it still, you know, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, we've got the same teams that have been in power forever or the same teams that are in power?
I hope it's the same teams, and I say that because if it's the same teams, Brent, that means we have a system in place where it's gonna get more structured and less chaos and less outside the rules. And I say that because the bigger schools with the history and the schools with the pedigrees and the development, those schools are usually the ones that are going to win. And if we get deals in place where now it's about if these deals are now a salary cap, if these deals are now negotiated and it's not as wide ranged and there's going to be contracts and stuff like that, now it goes down to what? The best coaching staffs. Yep. The best staffs that can put those things together. And I like that personally. Now, again, I want twists off of this, and I've already explained my rookie salary cap thing that I think would make a lot of sense for the sport of football. Like, you have a rookie salary cap window, that amount of money you can spend. You choose to spend it how you want. Like, but you're not getting more than that, and you got to fit your players within that model. So if you want to spend more money for a quarterback, go spend more money for it. But like, you're starting to see now, man, what do you see the most of, Brent, in college football? Like, what are people going to get the most? When we started the portal, it was a quarterback portal. That's what it started as. If you're watching now, who's getting the big bucks, Brent?
D linemen and O linemen, I would say.
The big boys. Because guess what? No matter how grown you are and how many stars you have next to your name, you're still 18. But when I can go grab you at 21, at 22, and you done put some yoked up muscle on you and you're ready to slap people in the mouth, and I've seen you do it, they're spending money on that. You can find receivers everywhere. You can find speed everywhere. Smaller bodies and faster bodies can play earlier. The big boys in the trenches are the biggest winners in the NIL and the way the transfer portal and the movement is right now.
I can do that too.
Yeah, baby.
I did 185 15 times earlier this evening. So, hey, I'm getting there, getting back to normal. All right. So, we got to have some fun with this now.
This was a brilliant idea by you, by the way. This was brilliant.
Hey, there's few and far between. There's a few and far between. We got to take them around.
My brain, first of all, fantasy football is so awesome. I play it every year in the NFL. Like, it's so much fun. It also ticks me off because I do not watch games the same. Like, I am watching the games through my prism of my guys on my team that I don't own, that I didn't pay, that is completely fake and means absolutely nothing. But by God, it means something to me. And that's what I think is so cool about fantasy football. So you got my brain going like, okay, I'm drafting these guys. So we're going to go through college now, and we're going to get a quarterback and two running backs. Two running backs. We're going to get a tight end.
Two receivers.
Wide receivers and a flex.
Flex and a defense.
Screw the defense, but yeah, we can do defense. Like, I don't care about defense. Hey, defenses are streamers every week, and we dang sure ain't doing kickers. Your grill if you think we're going to do kickers.
Can you name a kicker in college football right now?
Peyton Woodring.
Other than Peyton Woodring.
He's really good.
He's really good, and he's local.
He good. No, I can't name another one.
I know numbers. The way, like,
hey, so
the
for our fantasy football purposes, is it four? Is it 4 points for a passing touchdown, just like they do it?
So I want you to drive the scoring system, because I haven't done fantasy football for a long time.
Okay.
So you you drive that, and it'll help me pick because I get to make the first pick, evidently.
Okay. 4 points for a throwing touchdown. 6 points for a receiving and a rushing touchdown.
So receivers and running backs matter.
For the receivers, yes. 6 points for PPR per catches. You get a point per catch. So obviously you can do the math there with all those stuff, but that's how we can do it for receivers, tight ends, and then running backs obviously are getting what they're getting as well.
Okay. So
this is not my fantasy draft. You came up with a brilliant idea. I love it. I bestow the first pick upon you. We will do the snake draft. So you get one, I get two, and then you get
three,
two, I get two.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Exactly. And I'm writing it down as we do this, and maybe I can, you know, actually create something and we'll keep some stats. Probably won't have an ad drop unless there's injuries or something like that. Though, I mean, I guess we got bye weeks now. So in college, we might have to figure some of that out. But anyway, I get the first pick.
Yeah.
I'm going with Jeremiah Smith out of Ohio State. With the first pick.
It's a great pick. Are you worried at all about the quarterback spot and his production falling off because of the quarterback spot?
Negative, because I think he's that good. I think it's a matter
quarterback
of
proof.
I don't know that he's quarterback proof, but in college football, he might be quarterback proof. He's going to find a way, and they're going to find a way to get him touches. And it's not like last year where, and I'm sure they've got other guys and the litany of receivers that are, you know, there, the cupboard's always full there at Ohio State, but like him and Egbuka, I think had a little over 100 targets each on the entirety of the season. So I think that number is going to stay the same. And he is my, and also looking at him, I think you're going to, the thing for me always in fantasy was I want consistent production. I don't want 170 and three touchdowns 1 week and then like 30 and nothing for 3 weeks. I think you're going to get consistent 75 yards and a touchdown, and then you'll get your explosive crazy games mixed in there. So Smith is my with the first pick.
So you're saying you don't want Ryan Williams, the 175 and then the 40.
For a month. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'll take Ryan Williams next. Gladly. Okay. Wes, get ready to clip this because this is one of my preseason predictions. Everybody has Jeremiah Smith right here, and everybody has every other receiver on the face of planet Earth down here. I'm just telling you, by the end of the season, Ryan Williams is going to be close to that tier because you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know he had that kind of run after catch. Oh, he still makes the deep ball play. Oh, he's gotten a little bit bigger and thicker. Oh, he's got consistent quarterback play. Oh, dude's putting up video game numbers, cover of video game numbers, a la cover of NCAA football. I will take Ryan Williams. I think he's going to light it up. And by the way, you just further emphasize why I picked those two guys to be on the cover of Madden and why you should have as well, because that is the exact 1-2 punch. Like, why didn't you think of that?
Because I'm too idiot brain and analytical and logical and things of that nature. Good choices by you.
All right, I get the third pick, right?
Yes, you do.
Guess who I got? Jordan Tyson. Give me Jordan Tyson. I'm going receiver. Give him to me. Arizona State offense. Going to be thrown around the formation. Going to catch 100 balls, guaranteed. Going to score touchdowns. Going to do it in a multitude of ways. His quarterback's a stud. Tyson is an absolute stud. I got the best 1-2 punch so far at wide receiver, and it's not close.
Yeah, I think you are right there. That was a good pick. I like that one. That was probably pick number five for me. Pick four, I'm gonna go Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame.
Where is the love?
Mainly because I know fantasy, you think of this, but one, he didn't actually get a ton of carries last year. Health issues, yes, but touchdown city. And when you're giving me 6 points for a rushing touchdown,
yep.
Give me all the touchdowns that he had. So I'm taking Jeremiah with the fifth pick there, fourth pick. And with the fifth pick, there's going to be a theme. Hopefully see it later, maybe. I'm going to go Mekhi Hughes from Oregon, the two-man transfer.
Dang it. It's a good pick. I really like that pick.
Because I think especially early, you're going to see Oregon lean into the running game, let Dante Moore get comfortable. This guy's going to put up a lot of numbers. I mean, when they had LaMichael James and those types, like in over the years, they've fed him the rock. It's not like it's a, hey, let's split between two guys and nice and evenly. They've given the main guy the touches. So I'm going Mekhi Hughes at Oregon.
I like that. All right. My next pick, I'm going Nicholas Singleton. Love the way he carries the ball. I have him rated, thank goodness, on my, I have him above Mekhi Hughes. Touchdown machine. Showed you could catch it too, but he had 5 receiving TDs a year ago as well. 12 rushing touchdowns. Very consistent. Gonna make those big plays. Gonna play in a really great offense. You want fantasy running backs in great offenses. I don't know that Notre Dame's offense, I don't know how great it's going to be. It's interesting. I know Penn State's is going to be great across the board, and I know they're going to be run heavy. So give me Nicholas Singleton. And I don't know if you think I'm going to go here. I don't think you would, but I understand how fantasy football works, and I have played for a long time, and I understand there's a lot more value at receiver than there is at running back. Give me Antonio Williams from Clemson, because not only does he make big plays down the field, passing happy offense, not a rushing offense. He's also the touchdown guy. He had 12 tutties last year. He's going to continue to get more time with Klubnik, more time on the field, more big plays. I got 3 receivers that can give me 20 on any given day. I like my chances.
What's interesting about this is the receiver part of this conversation, because I think the next one, my next pick is receiver 2 for me. And I'm going to go Elijah Surratt at Indiana, because I think him and Mendoza are going to have some good connection this year. Ball. And I think he's going to be the main guy for them, but the receiver part of it. And one of the things that we'll talk about next week is the Heisman and maybe who are finalists and we think they're going to be for the Heisman. And I went and looked back, just I was curious who's the Heisman finalists have been. And 3 of the last 5 years, you've had a receiver be a Heisman finalist. Obviously, you had Travis Hunter last year win it. You had Marvin Harrison Jr. that was a finalist, and then Devontae Smith that was there. The prior 22 years for that, there were only 2. In 22 years, there were only 2 receivers that were finalists. Can you name them, by the way?
Only 22 receivers?
No. Out of 22 years prior to like that. So basically from 2019 to 1997. I went back to 1997 for a reason.
Larry Fitzgerald.
One other one. 1997. Remember that Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, and who was there with his sunglasses as a finalist?
Who was it? I don't know.
Randy Moss.
I was going to say Randy, but I forgot. He was that big. Yeah. I didn't know he was that good. My bad. I know he was good in the pros.
Come on. He was there.
I know he got kicked out.
All right. So, my next pick, I'm kind of a little torn, actually, with where to go with this. Because I was very much, by the way, in terms of receivers, you've taken – my other 2 guys that I had very much eyes on.
That was the whole point.
As it relates to that. So speaking of that and offenses, I might as well, if one guy doesn't have a great day, I'm going to go. So my flex is going to be receiver 2. I'm going to go Carnell Tate.
I like that one. I had him obviously below my other guys because I picked those other guys first, but I like him.
Yes.
He had a lot of catches a year ago. Think about it. And he had Mbuka. He had other weapons that he was not the number one or the number 2. Now, when you put him in that number 2 spot,
yeah,
I think,
and he gets
I think
100 targets.
He has a chance. He has a chance to be very successful.
Yep. Now you get the next 2 picks.
All right. I'm going Isaac Brown from Louisville. I don't know how high you had him on your list, but you should have had him higher. Yes. I mean, first of all, I remember watching this kid last year who was a true freshman, and I was like, what the heck? Like, he's smaller, but the dude is a blur. Like, home run plays after home run plays after home run plays. Grease lightning, erased angles. That Brohm offense, another year in it, I think he'll catch more passes. I think he'll continue to make home runs. I think his play caller is so dang good, he's going to continue to absolutely ascend and go absolutely bananas. So I think he's my guy. I'll go ahead and take I'll take the first tight end off the board too, by the way. I'm going to go Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt. Okay. I think Pavia, that offense, he's a prime candidate for not just 50-50 balls. He's also a prime candidate for a bunch of catches, a bunch of RPOs, a bunch of dink and dunk, points per reception, point. I don't care if it's for 2 yards. I get that point. If it's for 10, obviously, I get two. But I just want the volume, and I think him at tight end, I think he'll be the best tight end in college football as far as volume.
All right. So let's see. I've got two, then you've got two, then a finish point. So or we got one each. Or I got two, then you got one. If you want to look at it in terms of not taking a defense, if you want to take it, but we got to take a defense just to highlight.
I mean, we'll take a defense. That's fine. But I just, what are your next two?
I'm going K Klubnik at quarterback. I mean, he had 36 touchdowns a year ago. I think he's going to be dependent upon even more potentially this year, especially with some running touchdowns closer to the goal line.
Yep.
With their running back depth issues.
He's good at it.
And then I mentioned this earlier with Oregon, with Moore being there and how you're going to look at it from how their offense is going to be earlier. No Evan Stewart for maybe potentially most of the year now.
And definitely.
I think Kenyon Sadiq is going to be just a humongous part of their offense with the young quarterback, and then also just handing the ball, running the ball, because they give it to him on jet sweeps, throwing it to him, finding ways to go. So, yeah, Kenyon Sadiq is my pick at tight end.
Okay. So that means I have to go QB. I have to go with my quarterback because I have to finish up and actually get one.
Get a quarterback.
Hey, here was my deal. I literally wanted you to pick between Klubnik and Sam Levitt. Like, I didn't want to pick. I didn't think I'd make the right answer, and I didn't think I'd make the right pick. So I literally let you choose that so you would make that pick for me. But Sam Levitt's going to absolutely massacre college football. No Cam Scataboo. We saw his toughness, his running ability. The dude's a stud. Like, he's going to put up big numbers. Brent, both of those guys play in conferences where they're going to continue to put up enormous numbers. And you got to love that. Like, that's fantasy football, man. You don't want the best. You don't necessarily always want the best guys as much as you want the most productive guys. Like, who are the guys that are going to put up points and points and points? So
interesting that you went guy.
I think he's going to have an unbelievable season. I think he'll be at the Heisman Trophy ceremony in New York. Like, I think he's that kind of good, man. I'm a huge Sam Levitt guy. And then give me Ahmad Hardy.
By the way, in terms of the QB stuff, I thought you would pick Klubnik, and I was fully prepared to go Nussmeier as my next.
Really?
Because I think they're going to be – I think he's just going to be throwing it all over the yard and having to again. And also with Sam Levitt, I looked at it and thought a lot about Sam Levitt. Do you realize he only had one 300-yard game last year?
Brent, fantasy football, I don't care. It's not passing. It's not the passing. It's the passing touchdowns, and it's the rushing touchdowns. That's what you need.
He's got a few of those.
Because, hey, you get 6 for the rushing touchdowns. Nussmeier had like 20 scrambles last year. He never runs. Bad pick by you. Horrible pick if you'd have picked him. I'm glad you went with Klubnik. It was a good decision.
I mean, yeah. I thought it was a good decision, but I was ready to go Nuss.
Okay. Well, I wish I'd have picked Klubnik now, so you would have had to go Nuss. Okay. Ahmad Hardy. Played at Louisiana Monroe, coming to Missouri, which is an offense that's built to score. It's a scheme that is so beautiful, like wide zone, stretch you, easy to run in. He was an absolute beast last year. Over 1,300 yards, over 13 touchdowns. I think in Missouri's type of offense, he'll be very, very successful. Whoever plays running back, man, is always a dude. Like, you saw him find him from Division III a couple years ago, too. Walk-ons, like, with Schrader. Remember him? He was a baller. Like, he was an
absolute baller. Yes, Cody Schrader.
Cody Schrader was a baller. Like, I think this guy has – Hardy has the same chance of coming in. He's one of the best freshmen in the country. Get a little bit bigger, get a little bit stronger, a better offense. I think he's going to be that guy that's going to be all over the field and making plays and scoring points.
So, actually, given that I think you picked him at this point, let me do a little recap here. I think that gives you one, two, three running backs and three receivers. So we need to do like two flexes then, or just have three running backs and three receivers based on that pick and how we've done it. So since the thing is,
you rotate on weeks with matchups, though. You always see who the best matchup is, and you sit one guy at least. So
okay,
it's kind of the way it works with fantasy. But hey, go ahead and pick the defense, though. You don't get two; you just get one defense.
Well, I'm going to pick one more running back because our teams are sort of even.
Ah, okay.
And then we can talk defense. All right. You know, it is see ball, get ball. We should talk defense, right? Offense fantasy stuff.
Fantasy. This is a fun exercise, man.
I would go Catron Allen, because you're going to be if Singleton gets hurt in any way, then my guy's getting all the carries. So,
hey,
which is, by the way, why I didn't pick Drew Aller. That was, as much as I like his ability to run and throw, they're so dominant with the running game. I wouldn't want any part of him from a fantasy perspective.
No, but I tell you what, you know who I was going to take? I was back and forth between Hardy and Bryson Washington, because if you watched Baylor last year, like, Baylor went from 2-4 to 6 straight wins because of that dude. Like, they literally put him in the lineup and started giving him touches. He had a 6-game stretch of 8-18 and 11 tutties. Like, he was fantastic. He's the reason that offense really took off. Like, he was really close on there. I'm going to pick him up off waiver wires. I mean, just an absolute baller. Like, the Baylor Bears has a great running back, and I'm interested to see now when he gets more carries because he's a little bit banged up in the year. Like, that dude's got a chance to be special.
All right, so if you had to pick one defense for fantasy purposes, who are you taking?
See, to me, this one was pretty easy because – again, fantasy defense is, what do you get points for? And I probably have to educate Brent.
By the way, I used to do fantasy football a long time ago, but it's just been a long time. It's got way too many other things going on.
Well, you used to have hair too, but you don't. Anyways, very true. So fantasy football, you get 1 point for a sack. You get 3 points for a turnover. So it's very important to pressure the quarterback, to get the quarterback on the ground. It's important to force turnovers, to not give up points. You give up points, your numbers start to go down, obviously, by a substantial amount. So I went with Texas because I got the best 1-2 punch, rushing the quarterback, getting sacks. Defense will be elite. They play a lot of zone coverage. They don't give up big plays. They'll make plays on the ball. I kind of like their schedule, too. I mean, they've got a tough, obviously, opener with Ohio State, but give me Texas for the season for the defense because I'm going to get sacks and turnovers.
And we're already getting texts about our college fantasy football teams. From friends of ours. That's awesome. they get into it just as well. I think I probably would have went Notre Dame in terms of that, just because of how they play defense. Just lends itself to a lot of turnovers, I think, and creating turnovers. You can't go – I mean, there's so many overall schools that you could have gone with, especially if you had to pick one defense like this. Ohio State, because of their schedule, I think. Michigan, like, as Dave's here – says in the chat, you know, because of how much well they pressure the quarterback and get after the pass.
Yeah, good at it.
Like, those kind of things matter. By the way, you know who I wouldn't pick for fantasy defense?
Who?
That would be the team that's in our backyard. I don't know that I would pick Georgia as a fantasy defense team.
No.
They don't really – it's the turnover creation has been low recently, as well as getting sacking the quarterback. So –
tell you what, I met Elijah
Griffin. Points allowed.
I met Elijah Griffin yesterday.
A little different.
Bro, I felt like a little tiny human being. Like, I felt like a child, like, shaking his hand. He was one of the top recruits in the country, but that dude is Like, he's just you watch those guys practice. I watched them practice a little bit, and they're mutants. I mean, they're absolute superhuman mutants. The body types that they have, there's a few places that when you go watch practice, it's just really, really different. Just crazy. But I want to talk about some guys that we didn't get to talk about. Okay. Max Clair from Ohio State. He's a guy that played tight end at Purdue. He had almost 700 yards receiving, four touchdowns. I think he's going to come into this Ohio State offense and give them a receiving threat, athletic body. They can move. They can play at that off position and do a lot of fun things with. I think he'll catch a ton of balls. I think he'll have a chance to be really, really good. Jack Andreas. Is it Andreas from the guy who came from Cal? Is that how you say his name?
That sounds right.
It's E-N-D-R-I-E-S. He played at Cal.
Yes. I don't think it's I think it's Ease, like Andres or something like that. Maybe
Andres. I apologize, Jack, for messing the last name up, but I am giving you props and I'm trying to call you out and give you some credit. He had a good year at Cal, and obviously with a offensive upgrade, Mendoza's a heck of a quarterback that transferred to Indiana that's gonna light the world on fire this year at QB, but like that's a definite upgrade in a system that will help them. Jamal Haynes from Georgia Tech, like at running back. That dude is really, really good, man. Like, just big play, man, waiting to happen. Just that offense with Haynes King and another year in the system, I think, is going to be great. It's always great. He's going to get a bunch of touches. They're going to create a bunch of space. I think he's a guy that should be mentioned. If Eric Singleton, who used to be at Tech, that now it's Auburn, if he had a better quarterback, that dude, because he's a guy that we're going to talk about in the NFL draft next year, because he's going to be one of those guys that you're like, he's a first-round type pick. Like, I think he's a top pick. Like, that dude, he's hard to put his hands on. It's hard to cover him. He's great with the ball. Like, he's got great top-end speed. Just hard.
The distribution of touches for them will be interesting with him and Coleman.
Either way, if you're pulling the trigger on an Auburn receiver, it's a hard deal right now. It's been a hard thing in life, okay? Like,
you got to trust the QB.
I'm big on the commodities and the known. Like, I'm drafting in fantasy. Like, what do I know? Like, I draft some sleepers later in the draft, which you could argue where you take them would be good. Jonah Coleman from Washington. If you're a Husky fan, that dude is a bowling ball, a big play machine, a tackle breaker. I was really surprised, honestly, he's still there because that dude is such an animal. Like, another guy that when we start talking about the NFL, they're going to be like, where did he play? It's like, oh, he played at Washington. Like, so great. Like, unbelievable. I think he's really, really good and could have.
Speaking of Washington, by the way, the QB. Like,
yeah,
Deron Williams, like the stuff he put up, the numbers he put up at the end of the season,
and the athletic ability,
running and throwing. Like, if he's able to duplicate that, he is a fantasy force.
Bryant Wesco for Clemson, another guy that I think you know, he put up over 700 yards and 5 touchdowns. But another guy, I think, again, do I get volume with throwing the football all over the yard and guys that can get those catches, man. The PPR is what you want. You want those guys that are – if they get 10 catches and 40 yards, I don't give a crap. I still got 14 points. Like, if they get 100 yards and 4 catches, obviously that math doesn't add up the same, right? Like, it's easier to do the catching and just to get – so you want those guys – and that's why I think Singleton's going to ball for Auburn. I think he's the guy that can work the middle of the field. You throw it to him, he's going to catch it. He's going to catch those bubbles, those easy passes. And so – anybody else you had on your honorable mention that you wanted to give some love to?
I think Kevin, I'm interested to see from a statistical standpoint, because the running wasn't there even though it could have been, but Kevin Jennings at SMU, like, does he it did early, like when he first came into the lineup, the running was there, and then they're like, okay, we found our quarterback, let's maybe dial back on the running and make sure we keep him healthy.
Well, is that 150 pounds?
Yeah, does he become something there? Jaheim White at West Virginia with Rich Rod and his system, like, they typically, that's one for me that I got my own in terms of at least statistics from this purpose.
Yeah,
so many fun options though with this.
That was a great idea, man. It gets you thinking about football in a different way, and hopefully y'all are continuing to get excited because it's continuing to get closer and closer to when we get to absolutely sit on the couch and just be fat and watch our team, cheer them on, gripe, moan, complain, fire our coach, fire our players. You know, you're putting people on your own roster in the transfer portal. If you want to do that, you go on NCAA football and play. Like, that's That's how you get some of that anger out. But so we're not far away, my man.
Headgear Insights. Gracie and Love for more college fantasy football. They got some number one fan tracks, number one place for college fantasy football, if that's your thing. So anyway,
yeah, I don't I've never played college fantasy football. So I need to brush up.
Hey, we have teams.
I do think it would be fun. And I can promise you one thing. When you play fantasy, you know about everybody. Like, if they're scoring touchdowns, you know about them. No matter the level, it doesn't matter. You will go get anybody that will help you win. And that's really, really cool. You'll be hitting the waiver wire. Man, in the NFL, I do mine on Yahoo, dude. Like, I'm literally Googling after the 1 o'clock window, Brent. Fantasy football pickups. I text Field Yates 3,000 times during the NFL season. 3,000.
He doesn't get annoyed with that, does he? Not at all. He can't.
Sorry.
Probably a little bit.
Of course he gets. A little bit. No, he absolutely gets annoyed with it. But all right, man. Well, we'll be back next week. Plenty of things will happen before we get to next week. We appreciate y'all helping us to continue to grow and do all that thing you do, like rate, subscribe if you want to. But we'll be back next Monday to talk more college football, and I don't know what we'll get into. We were fantasy football.
We'll Heisman stuff. We'll probably start there. It's prediction. It's time to start making like predictions and things like that. So that's probably where we head next.
Sweet. See y'all next week, dudes.